For this morning's devotion, I will be reading from Ecclesiastes 3. This is a familiar chapter. The first part of it, it speaks of a time for everything, a time, a season, a purpose for everything in this life under heaven. But I will not be reading those verses. I will be reading what follows after, seeing that nothing escapes the knowledge of God. And in fact, he has been and is continually in full control. The writer of Ecclesiastes, presumably King Solomon, goes on in verses 10 to 15 to say how we ought to live in this life. So Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10, we read, "I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it." Travail means your occupation, what your daily job is, what your task here on earth is. You know, God said, "By the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground." There is work on this earth that is guaranteed. Paul would write, "If any would not work, neither should he eat." So that is a biblical principle that we would have to work physically in this world, and yet God has laid out for us spiritual work as well, to be doing all things to his glory. So it's good to exercise, to be humbled in our work here on earth as we work for our Lord. In verse 11 we read, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end." When it says God has set the world in our heart, that word world means eternity, everlasting. In each of our heart, the inner being of man, it is an eternal component of our being. When God breathed the breath of life into Adam, he made him a living, quickened spirit. Upon conception of life within the womb, God has inserted a mind, a soul, a spirit knit within that tiny human body. And God has set eternity in our inner being so we would know he exists, that we would seek to know him better. During the Babylonian captivity, the prophet Jeremiah prophesied of the Lord in Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13, Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." He had put it in their hearts to seek after the Lord, to know him, to desire him, to return to him. And although God has put eternity into every human being, that does not mean that every human being is seeking him or believing in him. We know that to be true because it's very evident in the world we live. But Romans 1, verses 18 to 20, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They hold the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. They don't walk therein after. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There are many things in this world we see and behold, and yet we don't actually see the minute aspects of it. I think of the other day we were playing baseball with our team, and you hold that bat. Now, I don't see the individual atoms of that bat, yet I can feel it, and I can see it, and I can hear the noise. There's an energy, a transfer. When you hit the ball, I can't see that transfer, and yet it's very evident. That's the truth of God, is that these invisible things are made visible. through his creation. We can observe it. In verse 12, we read that, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Now, we know none of us are good upon our own account. Jeremiah made that very clear in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And later on, the writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7, verse 20 would say, for there is not a just man upon earth that does good and sins not. So should we just wallow in our misery as poor, wretched sinners? No, we have victory. We have victory in Christ, so rejoice and do good in our lives is what we are commanded. We are to exercise the good God has placed in our hearts when we are redeemed. Verse 13 we read, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. It's not wrong to enjoy life. It's not wrong to enjoy the blessings that God bestows upon us. It is a gift from God. But we should acknowledge him in that and rejoice even in sufferings and difficulties when it's not going so well. For God is truly worthy and he is truly in control. Verse 14 we read, I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it that men should fear before him. We know that whatsoever God does, he does forever. It's not a temporary thing if he declares it. He has promised forgiveness to those who would repent. It's not a temporary forgiveness. He promises redemption for those who come to him humbly. It's not a temporary redemption. And he promises glory for those who die in Christ. It's not a temporary glory that awaits us. These are eternal truths for the believer because God has declared it. And it says that he does it. He performs it. And we need to fear and respect our God who does that. Know that there is an eternity awaiting every living soul. For God has set eternity in man. But where will each living soul spend eternity is the question we all have to ask. Either it's with God or it's without God. To be with God is what the Bible describes as heaven. To be without God is what the Bible describes as hell. Literal places. Literal realities. In verse 15, the concluding verse, says that which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and God has required that which is past. With God, the past is brought to the present, and the future is sent to the past. He has seen all. He has declared the end from the beginning. He has known each living soul from the foundation of the world. And at the end of this age, God will require that which is past. All will give an account. All will bend their knee to the Lord Jesus, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, according to Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. But sadly for many, it will be far too late. Their humility and confession will not be done out of fearful redemption, but out of fearful condemnation. So in this season, in this time that God has given us, and in the purpose God has set in each of our own hearts, may we live in rejoicing, doing good to honor and glorify our awesome, almighty God. And may God richly bless you in that as we serve him in this day.